Good morning. Joining us now in our studio from District 58A. I guess that doesn't make sense. We're all in District 58A, at least most of us. Christy Purcell, State Representative.
Good morning, Jeff. So glad to be back with you and in person.
Yeah, in person. This has been a while. Rich and I were talking about that. It's like, boy, it's been a month or two.
Well, last time it was winter, and now suddenly it definitely feels like spring.
You know, if you were coming in Monday, it'd be winter again.
So, that's true.
Yeah, our forecast is called for 80-something today, and probably won't get an inch of snow over the weekend.
Right. Oh, Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about the legislative session. You had a break for Easter last week, so everybody got some probably much needed rest and much needed time to get some things done. And the legislative session began back up this week. It's unfortunate the weather didn't quite coincide with the week off, but nevertheless, did you kind of ease back into it as far as the whole legislative session, or did the whole thing just pick right back up on a sprint?
Well, I think so. I'm not on the Ways and Means Committee, which is they are very busy this week. This week and next week, all of the kind of large budget bills from all the committees has to go through them. So people who are on Ways and Means are very busy. Those of us who are not first termers are, I don't think any first termers are on. We are decidedly less busy, which I feel grateful for, because there have been a bunch of groups that have come up to the Capitol, and we're spending lots and lots of time on the House floor. So our committees are done now. So we went into session on the House floor the last two or three days about noon, and then I was not sure. I was prepared to stay till midnight last night, and we adjourned about 9:30. So.
And you got a bill passed last night.
We did.
Tell us about that.
Yes, we passed House File 3, the Democracy for the People Act. So I'm very passionate about the environment and about agriculture, but really it was the threats to our democracy that made me sort of finally feel like, okay, I need to run for office after the January 6th attacks. And so this is a bill that my colleague, Representative Emma Greenman, who's a voting rights lawyer, has been working on for 3 years, and it protects election workers. It makes automatic voter registration possible. Poll workers, we used to call them student workers, but then if students turn 18 before the election, then they aren't. So it's sort of like buttoning up a few of those less exciting like technical fixes for people who want to participate and help in our elections, making sure that you can actually get on a permanent mail-in ballot list, instead of having to send that in every year. And most states, when you request a mail-in ballot, you actually get the ballot. In Minnesota, you just get an application. So sort of extra steps that's confusing for people, making sure that there's money for translators at polling places, talking about accessibility at the polls. So a lot of ways we're trying to make sure that our democracy is accessible to people.
So that was passed through the House. Do you know if there's some type of companion bill?
There sure is. Yes. So House File 3. So this is one of our top three priorities, and it has a companion Senate File 3 over in the Senate. And I think they are kind of poised and ready and waiting to pass that. So the kind of the other half of this bill. So I'm on the Elections Committee, so I've gotten to hear about this bill. And then the other half, the elections sort of budget bill overall, will be coming to the floor sometime as well. And then that will be sort of the full suite of elections.
Yeah. Do you think, is that going to go through on its own separately with both of the funding and the policy changes that you've made?
Yes. So I look at this. I mean, this is has a lot of policy pieces in it, this, House File 3. There is some funding attached to it, but it's definitely kind of the other half of the rest of the Elections Committee budget bill.
Christy Purcell is with us from District 58A. Let's move on. You had a farm breakfast? this week?
Yes. Yesterday was the best breakfast in town, the Land Stewardship Project Family Farm Breakfast. So all of the food comes locally sourced. So the potatoes, the wild rice, the eggs, the dairy, the sundry of breakfast meats, the vegetables, the potatoes. So it was just a delicious way to start the day. Coffee, all the things. Delicious way to start the day. And also more than 300 folks who are interested in farming and food systems came. We had breakfast. We heard a program. I participated on a panel with the vice chair from the Senate Ag Committee, as I'm vice chair of the House Ag Committee. Q&A. I think the Attorney General had a listening session with folks, and then they lobbied their legislators. So lots of conversations around what's important to people around farming and ag. One of the things we were hearing about, one is the MPCA Citizens Board for Oversight that went away in 2015, but had been around for 48 years before that. Another issue was this right to repair bill that's being included in the Commerce. So that's if you want to fix your cell phone but don't want to, you know, send it back to Apple or Android, having the right to do that. Mostly we want to make sure that farmers have the right to repair their $500,000 pieces of equipment if they have to wait or travel really, really far to get to a dealer, to only have that dealership be able to service their machine. That really puts them at a disadvantage, especially when time is of the essence. They need to get planting, they need to get harvesting. So having lots of conversations with folks to make sure that ag is not exempt from the right to repair bill. So those are lots of conversations happening around soil health, around farm to school, yesterday at the lobby day.
All right. How long was that, like a full day of activities?
Or? I saw folks there. I mean, the first shift for breakfast was 7 a.m. You know, farmers like to get up early. And and then I was still seeing some folks and having conversations at least at 3 p.m. So, you know, people kind of stayed or went, and depending on how long their drive was or depending on their day or the time they could meet with their legislators. But it seemed like a pretty full day from my view.
Yeah. Now, the agriculture has it's interesting because it encompasses so much. And a lot of that is federal government, mm-hmm. and a lot of that is a state government. Were there any particular, I want to say, laws or ways of doing business that's handled by the state that has given them problems? Was there any familiar refrain on some of the state-run programs or licensing or anything else?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think a lot of those biggest funding mechanisms, the NRCS, the Farm Bill, regulating crop insurance, commodity pricing, that happens at the federal mm-hmm. level. I mean, also in the Farm Bill is SNAP, you know, food stamp benefits and food access and the school lunch program. I mean, it's pretty wide ranging.
It's a big umbrella, yeah.
Yep. And so they're really, as I've been learning, I wish there was more space for the state to act. However, the target for our budget was only $48 million over base, one of the smaller budget targets for this session. So I guess maybe part of me is glad the state is in charge of all the things, because mm-hmm. I would have loved to see, I mean, at least double that amount for our farmers and our largest, you know, products that mm-hmm. we provide to the country and the world. So that's where I think of the state as being able to do like some tweaks around the edges, like incentivizing farm to school within our state, incentivizing soil health practices within our state. What else? Starting a grain indemnity fund so that farmers aren't left holding the bag after they grow and sell their grain to an elevator. And then if the elevators go bankrupt and go under, making sure that the farmers aren't the ones not getting reimbursed.
Yeah.
Yep. So there are things we can do at a state level, and I think it's really important that we do that. But it has become clear to me a lot of those big picture things are above my pay grade.
let's move on. Last week, you know, it seems like a distant memory now. We've had 80-some degrees, a couple of days of record heat. Things are starting to turn green. About a week or so ago, we were very concerned about flooding.
Yes.
Here in Northfield proper, really didn't have anything too bad at all. Thank goodness. We can knock on wood there. But other areas of the state, not so fortunate. Was flooding and emergency funding a topic this week?
Yes. So last week, the House passed some emergency funding. Because we were going on that six-day break, we thought, oh, no, the timing will be just wrong for communities will need these funds. The Senate passed that a little bit later. They changed one word in the bill. So then we had to pass a concurrence last night to just make sure the bills were exactly the same. I've had colleagues asking about how we're doing in Northfield. I watched the cannon get fuller and fuller and fuller and mostly stay in her banks. So grateful for that. But we are, flooding season's not over for the state. So definitely the Red River Valley, the St. Croix area, Mississippi, these communities are preparing. So we do have a flood relief, kind of an emergency fund that is available to communities. So that was really important. We take care of that.
Once again, Christy Purcell, District 58A representative, is with us. We're talking what's happening at the legislative session this past week. And let's look at what's coming up in the next week or so. We're heading into about the last month or so of the legislative session.
5 weeks left.
5 weeks left. So it's going to be busy as can be and then not do anything for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it look like for you coming up this week?
So the Senate actually passed their agriculture omnibus bill off the floor yesterday. I was hoping to get over there. I've never been on the Senate floor and didn't know how I get, admission to that. And by the time I went over there, they'd passed it. It was done. So I imagine that our ag bill is going to come up fairly soon. I'm not sure if it's gone through. It has to go through Ways and Means first, then it goes to the floor. The environment bill and the climate bills will be making their way soon. Also housing. I mean, we know that housing is really a challenge across the entire state. Same in our communities here. And I know that the budget target for housing, who our city councilor, Davin Socup, works on the Senate side on the housing committee. It is the largest single investment that the state has ever made in housing. It's still going to, not feel like enough for the housing needs we have that have been ignored for so long. So that will be coming to the floor, I imagine. I think the elections, full budget, kind of the other half of this House File 3, the Democracy for the People Act. So I think we're seeing some of these, the culmination of the work of all these committees. Those will be coming up in the next week and a half or so. Then after the Senate does their work, then, there'll have to be conference committees to hammer out the differences mm-hmm. between. So I imagine the next week or so, and I'm not sure what my schedule will be like next week, but we're told we got to be in St. Paul every day, plan to be there till midnight, including Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to get these big budget bills passed. So we'll have to play it by ear for our chat next week.
All right. Christy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
much appreciated.
Jeff. So glad to be back in beautiful downtown Northfield to do this.
Always welcome in the studios.
Thank
here.
You.
Christy Purcell, once again, District 58A State Representative. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield. We've got Tim McNiff.